Graphic video from the scene shows a large number of casualties. The IDF confirmed it struck the school, and one IDF official said about 20 Hamas and Islamic Jihad militants were operating from the school compound.
Vice President Kamala Harris and running mate Tim Walz are campaigning Friday in Arizona. A senior campaign spokesperson acknowledges the governor misspoke by referring to weapons of war that I carried in war in a video clip the campaign posted online earlier this week. Walz never served in a war zone. Debbie's finally moved out of the U.S., but flash flooding in New York State Friday forced the evacuation of several towns. There are more than 40,000 power outages. This is ABC News. Friday marked 10 years since the fatal police shooting of Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri, and that sparked months of protests there and around the country.
Community members, lawmakers, and activists showed up for the march and remembrance ceremony for Michael Brown. Among those was Bianca Austin, the aunt of Breonna Taylor, the 26-year-old woman who was fatally shot by Louisville police back in 2020.
Some of our families will never get justice. Well, we are here. We're fighting for change. Remember that.
More events are planned throughout the weekend to mark the 10th anniversary. Jill Enders, ABC News, St. Louis.
The National Park Service says the Double Arch collapsed on Thursday. That's a large geological feature in Glen Canyon National Recreation Area in southern Utah. No injuries reported. Rangers suspect changing water levels and erosion from Lake Powell caused the collapse. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
Broadcasting on the Sporting Journal Radio Network, wherever you get your podcasts, or watch on YouTube.
Well, we're here at the 2024 Pheasant Fest and Quail Classic,
presented by Onyx. Know where you stand with Onyx.
And our guest now is Jeremy Smith.
I fish, I hunt, and always will.
It's just a lookout for your everyday hunter, angler, and trapper that's out there.
A Fish on Forever production. This is Sporting Journal Radio.
That's right. Welcome to the show. I'm Brett Amundson. Thanks for tuning in wherever you get your favorite podcast. Maybe you're listening to a radio station. Thank you very much, radio station, for playing the show. And thank you for listening to it. Or maybe you're watching this on YouTube. That's Dan Amundson over there. What's up, Dan?
Well, we survived the massive thunderstorm that was supposed to kill us all. And right. Funny enough, it wasn't even severe.
Missed us completely.
Well, we got a little bit of thunder.
Some rain, I guess, and some...
Yeah, much needed rain. Because we've been so dry this spring,
man.
Summer. Anyways, we're alive.
We made it.
We're happy.
Yes, we are. No David this week. He's at Sturgis.
Riding a motorcycle right now.
Yeah, good for him. Nice weather for it.
It's raining today again.
Is it raining? Oh, boy. Yeah, he's going to have a long ride back.
Yeah, I mean, it's raining here, so I'd assume driving back from South Dakota would be raining there. Probably. Well, maybe it's done raining by now. I don't know.
I have no idea.
We're not there.
I didn't even realize it was raining here.
Let's speculate for 10 more minutes, and we're going to be done with this.
Hey, part of the show, we're going to be jumping in a boat with Darren Troseth and going catfishing. It's kind of a unique catfishing opportunity in Minnesota. And when you want to talk cats in Minnesota, Darren Troseth is your guy, whether around the metro area or on the rivers or this new location. We'll tell you more about that coming up and see if we can't catch some more fish on the podcast or on the radio show coming up later. Also, Joe Henry will talk about August fishing at Lake of the Woods. He actually pulls up a map and points out some spots.
Yeah, if you want to know exactly where to go to catch some walleyes, we show you. Pretty cool.
Yeah, so if you're listening on the radio, you may want to watch this on YouTube.
Yeah, if you're listening to the audio podcast, watch it on YouTube as well.
And if you are watching this, you're going to be entered to win a sun shirt from us here at Sporting Journal Radio. We'll put a link to the contest in the comments. It's also at sportingjournalradio.com. Go, you just got to put your email in, and then you just have to watch this, and then you get an entry, and you can get an entry, a new entry every day. We're going to give away 5 of these sun shirts. They're protected. They're UPF 50 plus. So that sounds very technical, but basically you don't want skin cancer. You want to get some sunshine, but you want to be protected when you're out there fishing. And if you're on the water a lot, well, you know, we started wearing the gloves, wearing the face masks, the buffs, whatever, and protecting ourselves, the ears and the back of the neck with the light, thin hoods in our sun shirts. You can check them out at sportingjournalradio.com. You can win some as well, too. We'll tell you more about that coming up in just a little bit. And our friends up at Tazzin Lake Lodge, by the way, are wrapping things up for the season. If you want to book a trip for trophy lake trout in Northern Pike, go to tazzinlake.com. And we're going to be working on some Tazzin TV episodes. episodes. We filmed some stuff up there, and we'll be putting them on the Taz and Lake Lodge YouTube channel very, very soon. And Dan, who else are this week's sponsors?
Invergrove Toyota, the official truck sponsor of Fish Hunt Forever, is Invergrove Toyota. When looking for your new truck, head to Invergrove Toyota. Lake of the Woods Tourism. Lake of the Woods is the walleye capital. Plan a trip for this open water season at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. Onyx Hunt, see private land boundaries, recent imagery, offline maps, and Minnesota-specific hunt layers. Download the Onyx Hunt app today. Taz and Lake Lodge, catch world record lake trout and giant pike at Saskatchewan's Taz and Lake. Learn more at tazandlake.com. Devil's Lake, North Dakota, catch it all at Devil's Lake. Prairie Sportsman, the new season is wrapped up. You can watch episodes anytime at the Prairie Sportsman YouTube channel or check your TV guide for local airtimes. And we're back on DirecTV in the Twin Cities. Haybill Heights Campground and Resort, fish Devil's Lake this summer. Learn more at haybillheights.com. And Guardian Eagle Resort, come fish the Ontario waters of Guardian Eagle Resort. Fly directly from Minneapolis. Learn more at guardianeagle.com.
Hey, we're going to be in the Fish Hunt Forever Fundra next week, driving up to Lake of the Woods, the Tundra from Invergrove Toyota. Watch for it. Take a picture. Post on social media for a chance to win some stuff. And if you're looking for a new truck and you don't want to spend $60,000, $70,000, $80,000, there are some really nice trucks out there. But if you're looking for something with a little bit of a lighter budget, we'll take a look at the Tacoma. They start at just $36,195. They're the number one selling midsize truck in America, selling more than the Chevy Colorado, more than the Ford Ranger. It's better than ever. They've got all new Tacomas right now for 2024, and they've got them at Invergrove Toyota. They tow up to 6,500 pounds and will get you where you need to go for all your hunting and fishing trips. And for our listeners, get $250 off the lowest advertised price and an additional $500 for your trade-in right now. You just have to go to invergrovetoyota.com/FHF and claim your trade-in voucher today. Dan, I was looking on social media and I saw somebody post about catching a drum. I can't remember who it was, so I apologize whoever it was, but he was just jacked and he said he was obsessed with catching sheephead now. And I kind of don't blame him. You know, you're always disappointed when you're trying to catch walleye and you catch a sheephead, but they're fun.
Yeah, you always think it's a big walleye. And so, you know, I think Eric Osberg was once on the show and was talking about accidental fish catches and, you know, how you're disappointed. But until you saw what species it was, you're having fun catching it. You know, you're like, oh, this is a big fish. This is cool. This is awesome. This is awesome. And then you're like, oh, man. But up until that moment, you were having fun.
Yeah.
So if you just change your mindset, you could have fun the whole time. And catching drum is fun. They fight hard. They're an interesting fish. They're not, you know, they're not the flashiest fish, but they're kind of cool. And they fight. And you can find them. They're easy to catch. They'll eat a night crawler, they'll eat a jig, they'll eat a spinner, they'll eat just about anything you throw at them. So it's pretty fun.
They don't get the respect I don't think they deserve. And your dad caught what could have been a state record.
It might have been. It's on the Sporting Journal Radio Facebook page from a couple summers ago. It was a tank. I don't know if it hit 40 inches. If it didn't, it was at 39 something.
That's,
I don't remember.
Insane.
I should look this up. Talk amongst yourself.
Sure. But dude, imagine that. A drum or sheep's head, whatever you want to call them. Imagine one that's 40 inches. I had no idea that they even got that big. And he smashed one on one of the rivers.
Well, it's probably technically Mississippi? The Mississippi River.
Yeah, just unreal. So they're fun to catch. It's one of those fish. I feel like there's, and whether it's because they were called rough fish or whatever, I feel like they don't get enough respect in the state of Minnesota, just like catfish. And I'll tell you, the catfish, like we ate some last night, delicious.
Yep.
And I put some on my Snapchat.
Here it is, I found it.
Put some on my Snapchat story, and I had so many people asking me about how they taste and if there's bones and all that. Look at the size of that
39 drum. And a half by 27.
Doesn't even look like a drum. Like, that's giant, crazy fish. Man.
Oh, Aggie's in the background. She had a good time, probably.
Could you imagine her trying to jump in the water and catch that thing?
Oh, she'd have fun. You know, she likes to chase fish around.
Mike Nakowski, it's ugly.
Yeah, well, you're wrong.
Yeah, well, it wasn't a good-looking fish.
But sure is. It's a beautiful fish.
Tank. Jeez. So we're going to talk more about cats, though, by the way. And, yeah, cleaning them, you can... They're easy to clean, they're easy to catch, and they're delicious. And we cook them up just like a walleye. We'll talk more about cats with Darren Trocef later in the show. The white bass are becoming more and more popular. I know some people go to Devil's Lake just for the white bass now.
I saw they were actually just stocking them, and I think it was like the Phelan chain of lakes.
Oh, sure.
Just for that reason, they're becoming pretty popular.
Well, if you're looking for a world-class walleye or white bass fishing destination this summer, check out Devil's Lake, North Dakota. The walleye bite remains strong. strong even through this time of year. Catch it all at Devil's Lake. Visit devilslakend.com to learn more and to plan your trip. Hey, you know what else doesn't get respect, Dan? Roadkill.
Well, go on.
did you see this RFK Jr. story? We don't need to. We don't need to tell the whole story here because we're running out of time. But basically, a story came out where he said they hit a bear, and he's like, "Well, the redneck in me wants to keep this, you know." And I suppose it was in decent shape yet, so he wanted to skin it, and then wanted to take some of the meat. So he threw it in the back of his vehicle, and then went out to eat, and then ran out of time to deal with it. He had to fly out the next day, so he went to a park.
Central Park, right?
Central Park, in and put a broken bike next to it and said it was a bike accident. And then everybody in the world is freaking out about it. But I'll tell you what, if I've hit deer and eaten the deer, you can get a sight tag for it, and if it's in good shape, there's nothing wrong with that. So don't be afraid to eat roadkill if the situation comes up and it's, you know, fresh. maybe don't just come across a roadkill deer.
No, but and if like the guts are all over the place, maybe not. But yeah, if it's in good shape, maybe, and if it's only taking back straps or something, you might as well make the most of it, right?
Absolutely. So we should put a poll up and find out how many
comment
below if you have no problem eating the right roadkill,
legally obtained.
I want to thank Brett McComas and Target Walleye for sharing some of our content from Guardian Eagle Resort. Thank you very much, man. Guardian Eagle, what a great time. We have our video out now. You can watch it on the Fish Hunt Forever YouTube channel. They are in Ontario. You can fly direct from the Anoka County Airport in Blaine and land right at their 3,200-foot concrete runway. They got 75,000 acres of private water, dockfish, walleyes right at the dock. Learn more at guardianeagle.com and watch our video at Fish Hunt Forever, the YouTube channel. All right, we've got Darren Trocheth doing some catfishing. We're jumping in the boat when we come back.
Now is the time to start thinking about chasing big walleyes on Devil's Lake. Get on the fish at Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. Hay Bale Heights makes it easy for you to make memories on legendary Devil's Lake with guided fishing and lodging packages. Or bring your own boat and rent one of their cabins on East Bay. Hay Bale Heights offers a private marina, fish cleaning station, and the opportunity to relax and enjoy your bucket list trip to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. To book your trip, visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com. This is Sporting Journal Radio, presented by OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
All right, this is Sporting Journal Radio. I'm Brett Amundson. Thanks for tuning in on the radio network by demand, sportingjournalradio.com, or maybe you're watching this on YouTube. And if you are, you can see that we're not in our studio once again. And once again, we're fishing here on the show, which is something we love to do. Dan Amundson is behind the camera right back there, and we're with Darren Trocheth right now. Darren, how's it going?
It's going good. We got a beautiful day out here. Got a little cool down, which is nice after that hot weather we had, but catching some fish, having a good time.
Yeah, this is fun. We're filming an episode of Prairie Sportsman right now, and we're on the Sauk River chain.
Correct, yes.
And yep. We're catfishing.
We're catfishing, and the Sauk River chain, for anyone who doesn't know, is near Richmond, and the next closest city would be St. Cloud, so.
And we're going out here for channel cats. This is an area that has been known for its catfishing for a number of years now.
Yeah, so they put these catfish in here, I want to say in the 80s, and they did that just to kind of control the bullhead population, and it went better than they expected, and the whole lake is, or the whole chain is full of them, so it's a good opportunity, especially if you want to catch numbers of fish, and maybe you want to eat a catfish. It's just a good place to come to, and easy to catch, and a good opportunity.
Well, we'll talk about eating them here in a little bit, too, but, you know, obviously you do a lot of guiding on the rivers around the metro, but you're going to start guiding up here too?
I did. I kind of opened up, so I recently just went to full-time guiding, and I thought, you know, maybe I would just do maybe one day a week up here because it's a 90-mile drive for me, but I also think, especially some of the people I've taken out, they would really have a blast doing this, just casting bobbers around and setting the hook on some fish and catching some nice catfish. So probably once a week I'll be doing this through the summer and offering that.
It's kind of a unique opportunity to catch fish. You know, I don't really think of cats as a lake species, and obviously in southern Minnesota there are a number of lakes. They're usually connected to some sort of river system. And we're in a chain of lakes, but it's just the way we're doing this. I just don't think, when I think of catfishing, Darren, I don't think of what we're doing right now.
And I think that's why it's a unique opportunity. Like, in general, I think Minnesota has great fishing no matter where you go. But there's pockets within the state where there's different opportunities. Like, you can't do that anywhere else. And I kind of feel like that about this spot, you know. You can go out and catch catfish many different ways, and this is one way to do it. And you can pick different species throughout the state and find pockets like that. And I just feel this is that spot, you know.
So let's talk a little bit about what we're doing, because I can promise you, you will never guess what we're using for bait right now. But let's start. So we got spinning rods, catfish spinning rods that you like to use?
Yeah, I'm just using a ugly stick that I got at Fleet Farm, 6.5 foot, 7 foot ugly stick, medium action.
Two piece?
Yeah, two piece, 20 to 30 pound braid, and a 5 to 7 knot circle hook.
Real simple setup.
Yeah, yep. And then for the bait, like you mentioned, it's raw shrimp right from the freezer section.
Shrimp. You know, when you told me that we were going to come out here and do this and we were going to bobber fish with shrimp, I didn't know, like, I was like, there's no way he's talking about, like, tail on, tail off, deveined shrimp that you get, yeah, in the freezer section at the grocery store. And that's, it's kind of what you're talking about, but you're talking about raw shrimp for this.
Literally from the grocery store. I got that at Hy-Vee yesterday for $3.99.
So, on the back, you can see there's an angel hair with shrimp, tomatoes, and feta recipe. They don't tell you how to put them on a circle hook, though. They need to add that to the back.
Yeah, they should add that on here. How to fish for fish.
That is hilarious. What made you want to start using raw shrimp?
I have used it in the past. On my YouTube channel, there's a video I did probably, I don't know, 15 years ago. A friend and I went out, and he brought a little tub of shrimp. And we actually did. Oh, gosh. Sorry about that.
It's all right.
So we went out and we did pretty well on the shrimp, and I've used it kind of sporadically on the river, and so I knew it worked well, but I did come across some YouTube videos of guys doing this up here. I was like, that's really interesting. So it wasn't like I just said, I'm going to come up here and try this. There were some rumblings of people doing it and seeing some videos, and so I came up here and tried it myself, and I was like, wow, this is a lot of fun, you know. So that's kind of where that evolved.
Well, it all of a sudden, your grocery store is now the bait and tackle shop.
Yeah, right.
You can go in there and see circle hooks on the wall next to frozen salmon and shrimp, and then we're just using bobbers. So, like, this is literally the first way I ever fished in my entire life, fishing with a crawler on a hook for sunnies.
And there's something about it, like, I think that's a lot for everybody, you know, and you kind of go back to your childhood watching bobbers. And it's just, to me, it's a lot of fun. I just really enjoy it, watching that bobber just gone.
There's a few things in fishing that are more satisfying than everything else. And one, I think, is the sound of the drag, right? The thump of a walleye and watching the bobber go down. It never gets old.
I would say that's top of the list for me, is watching that bobber go down. Like, no matter what the species is, and even just going back to blue yellow crappie fishing, I enjoy it. It just never gets old.
Tug is the drug, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So let's talk about how these catfish react to this bait. So what we're doing is literally just casting, trying to cast kind of along the weed edge out here, and you're just leaving it out there for 15 seconds or so.
Yeah, I would say no more than a minute. For whatever reason, they're reacting to the splash of that bobber, maybe the sight of that bright white shrimp coming through the water column. And when I can, I try to get away with even using weight. I think the slow fall of that shrimp helps as well. But there'll be times where I don't get a bite. I reel in, I cast to the exact same spot, and then I get bit as soon as it hits the water. So there's definitely something with the splash of that bait hitting the water that they're triggering to.
When we've seen a lot of catfish surfacing out here, so do you think there's some sort of forage up near the surface that makes a little commotion that attracts them? And this is maybe...
It's very well as possible. Yeah, maybe so. I don't know what the main forage is out here for bait fish, but maybe, you know, a tiny panfish or something. Or I know that the fish on the Red River they'll feed on these live goldeyes, the kind of the same way. So maybe there is some sort of bait fish in here they're chasing. But yeah, again, just the splash of that bobber is triggering them.
Well, and then there's one thing that you said. We saw some cormorants up in trees. And you said, for whatever reason, whether it's a coincidence or not, you feel like sometimes the catfish are relating to those same areas.
Yes, and a friend of mine came up here before me one time, and he kind of cued me in on that. He's like, we were catching fish all around the pelicans and cormorants, so that's kind of where I first started looking. And sure enough, he was spot on, you know, like that's where I started seeing. And then as I've been coming up here more and more, I've noticed it, like they're around the pelicans and cormorants. And so I don't know if they're eating off of fish that they're dropping in the water, or maybe they're defecating in the water. I don't know. Maybe they're eating that. I don't know. Like, I don't know what to say about that.
That's what gives the catfish fillet, just that, that hint of something. You don't know what it is when you're eating it.
There's definitely something about it, though.
That's interesting. Well, I could see it, you know, even eagles or cormies or whatever dropping, maybe dropping some fish when they fly up. I think they're usually probably eating them and swallowing them, but maybe they are dropping something from the tree branches, or maybe it's just, again, it's that splash of the water that the catfish are sensing, feeling, or hearing, or whatever the case is, and bringing them into the area. But you're finding them in fairly shallow water too.
Yeah, I mean, we're in right now, I think we're in 6 or 7 feet. Most of the day here we've been in, you know, 5 or 6 feet, and casting probably into 2 to 3 feet, and they're up there in the shallows just cruising around. So, but we're also seeing fish surface behind us as well. So I just think, honestly, there's just so many fish out here that you can find different patterns and be successful different ways, fishing deep, fishing shallow. They're just, it's really opportunistic, you know, they're just all over the place.
Well, maybe cats are one of those species that are a little bit harder to pattern too. They're just roamers, they're aggressive, so they're out there chasing things around, and they don't care about depth, they don't care about, you know, some of the other factors that you might look for.
Right, they just want to eat.
Yeah, they're more aggressive, I think, than people realize.
They are. They'll, you know, everyone thinks, oh, they're just bottom feeders, you know, they're scrounging off things off the bottom. And as you can see, obviously we're not fishing on the bottom here. They're up in the water column. They're chasing things. They're surfacing. They're pretty active, and you get
pretty active in the live well. Yeah. We're keeping a couple to eat too.
You get on a good bite, and sometimes it can be one after another. I do think that this cold front may have just kind of slowed things down today. I mean, sure, it was pretty cool this morning.
Yeah, so, 55 degrees driving up here, which felt great. I loved it. We saw a flock of geese, saw a flock of woodies. I'm gearing up for fall just a little bit. And so let's talk about, you know, how things have been for you. We had you on a couple of months ago when a lot of the flooding was going on, and I want to get to that too. But, you know, this time of year, like how, we're into August here, kind of the front end of August. How late will you guide? And what do you see different this time of year versus earlier in the season?
So for catfish, I normally will guide until September, and then I'll start doing sturgeon trips. But you can catch catfish all through October pretty much. And even up here, you can catch them that late in the year as well too. But for me, that flooding in June just really changed everything. I mean, I couldn't fish at all in June. We had, you know, historic flooding. And what I'm finding now is it really has change things I'm normally seeing out there. Some of the spots are just different, and the fish aren't where they normally, where I would expect them. So I think the flooding, you know, maybe pushed them out of there a little bit, or just changed their behavior a little bit. So it's just a matter of being out there and trying to figure out what they're doing and, you know, what they want to eat.
Well, having that volatility of a river to rely on, the level, depth changes, the fluctuation, the traffic sometimes, having this opportunity to start taking people, because you're going to start guiding up here, so having this opportunity up here has got to be nice.
It's a good subsidy for sure. Like, it's consistent. Like, I can count on it that we can come out and catch some fish, and some days it's phenomenal, some days it's not as good, but you're always catching fish. That's a good thing, you know, like even the slow days are good. So that's it's nice to have that as an option for people if I need to cancel.
And you might be doing a lot of catch and release, and obviously when you're catching flatheads, you're generally releasing those all the time. And maybe you're releasing the channels that are up here in this body of water as well, but if a client wanted to keep some, they're encouraging some take out of this lake.
Oh yeah, for sure. So in fact, the DNR even doubled the bag limit on this particular body of water to try to thin the fish out a little bit. So it's another good opportunity if someone wants to eat some fish to come here, and I would for sure encourage people to take some of the smaller ones. I don't think it's necessarily good to take the bigger ones, because that's what we want in here. We want to have a trophy, you know, class species in here that, you know, we're up here catching 30 inches versus 20 inches. And I think this has the potential to turn into that. There's places around the region that have these trophy channel cats, and it's a destination and people are going to it, and I think this place could be that.
This is a popular destination in the winter too, isn't it?
Yeah, it's one of the only places I know where you can actually come and consistently catch channel cats through the ice, because there's just so many of them. We'll be sitting in a 30-foot hole, and you look at your sonar, and it's a solid 20 feet of fish. It's just, you know, like you'd see with crappies in a big school, but it's catfish.
Oh,
so,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I want to talk a little bit more about your guiding business and what conditions have been like out there. We'll have more with Darren Trosseth from the boat, Fishing for Cats, here on Sporting Journal Radio.
Hunting season will be here before you know it, and it's time to get ready for your next adventure with the OnX Hunt app. Whether you're traveling in search of roosters, elk, waterfowl, or looking to score on a whitetail close to home, OnX Hunt can help you be more successful this season. Route, plan, and navigate with private and public land boundaries, recent imagery, offline maps, and Minnesota-specific hunt layers. Download the Hunt app on the App Store or Google Play and join the millions of hunters that trust OnX Hunt.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
Do you know or work with kids who have special health care needs? Help them live their best lives. Contact Wisconsin Wayfinder Children's Resource Network. Our specialists will connect you with services in your area. Wisconsin Wayfinder is free and confidential. Call 877-947-2929 or visit dhs.wi.gov/WISCWAY. Connect today. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Hi, this is Guide Kurt Justice with the Kurt's Island Sports Shop Fishing Report. Well, the new moon and the heat at the end of July combined for some very good fishing this past week. Now, while sunshine and lack of wind inhibited some midday action, those willing to fish early and late had very good results. Water temps hit highs of over 82 degrees on some waters, which is not common for us northerners. Most hovered within an average surface temp of 78 degrees. Expect that to drop with the new cool fronts that has moved in. Walleye is very good to good. Now, the bite heated up along with the water for those willing to get out early or fish late. Live bait such as crawlers, leeches, or redtails had on the gravel rock humps of 22 to 28 feet on 1/8 to quarter ounce jigs, slip bobbering, or drop shotting, these live baits work as well. Anglers finding transitional fish, that's fish suspended traveling from hump to hump, are being targeted by search lures with crawlers. Some very good reports of walleyes and heavy weed growth as shallow as 6 to 9 feet using redtails on 16th ounce weedless jigs. These fish showed signs of feeding heavily on 1.5 to 2 inch perch. Fish accordingly. It was nice to give something other than a bass top billing for a change. The current cool front may slow these bites, but we'll see. Smallmouth, very good into good. Early and late, some hot topwater action on spooks, torpedoes, jitterbugs, and whopper ploppers. Out over rock bars on Ned rigs and drop shot rigs are best. And along weed edges, yes, at times they seem to be everywhere. Tubes and wacky worms were fantastic. With lows in the 50s and highs only in the 60s Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, expect a little pushback from the activity we had been getting. Surface temps will drop and fish will need some time to adjust their patterns. Looks like a warm-up from then, starting on the 11th onward, so shouldn't be too severe of a change. Leeches are coming to an end in the supply chain. Fish will still eat, but expect fewer leeches to be available at your favorite bait shops. Weeds and waters are still above average, so hope to see both stay up for the August fishing. Well, that's all I have for today's reports. Kurt from Kurt's Island Sports Shop. Good luck fishing.
Join me, Big G, 9-8Q Country, Friday, August 16th, as I broadcast live from D&D Tire in Ottawa and Park Falls for their second anniversary customer appreciation event. Cody and Sadie invite everyone for complimentary lunch and refreshments. Meet the D&D crew and learn about fluid film protection. Enter to win Mall of America passes, Dell's attractions, and great prizes from D&D. D&D offers 24-hour towing and a Lube Oil Filters Awards program to save you money. Mark your calendars for Friday, August 16th at D&D Tire and Auto on Highway 13 in Park Falls, Wisconsin.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Don't miss out on summer brake deals at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Right now, get 15% off a set of Brake Best Select, Select Pro, or Import Direct brake pads and two rotors. Restore quality braking and improve stopping performance with parts and advice from the professional parts people. Save money now when you visit O'Reilly Auto Parts or O'ReillyAuto.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Summer's just getting started, so fill your cooler with the smooth and refreshing taste of Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea. It tastes like real iced tea because it's made with real brewed tea. And with a 5% kick of alcohol, Twisted Tea is perfect for the beach, the lake, or wherever you're hanging out and day drinking with your friends. Look for the bright yellow cans. Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea. Keep it twisted.
Twisted Tea Brewing Company, Cincinnati, Ohio. Please drink responsibly.
This is Sporting Journal Radio.
Presented by OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
All right, we're back here on Sporting Journal Radio. It's Brett Amundson in the boat with Darren Trocheth right now, and we are fishing for cats. We're filming an episode of Prairie Sportsman. And boy, it was cool and foggy this morning, 55 degrees, but it's starting to warm up now. I'm gonna have to lose this sweatshirt. Darren, when you're doing this, do you find that sunnier days like this are better?
I actually have found that because, again, I think it's, they're looking for that bait. It's like a sight bite thing. In fact, I would say maybe a month ago I came up here and I really wanted to try fishing this after dark because I thought it'd be really good after dark using like glow bobbers, you know, and doing the same thing we're doing here, but just when it's dark out. And I found that it just shuts down. The sun went down and I didn't catch another fish. So I think there is something to do with the visual part of it.
How would you explain that? Because when you're, you know, fishing for flatties or whatever and you're on the river, a lot of times you are fishing at night and you're catching channels in the dark there, right?
We are, and I think the difference there is we're mostly anchor fishing and bottom fishing, and I think those fish are keying on their scent more than their sight.
Okay.
So I think if I was to do it again up here, I'd probably anchor and just throw a line and let it sit on the bottom maybe, or go to a little deeper water perhaps. I just found that what we're doing here didn't work, so I'd probably have to try something different.
So the name of your guide is this, Three Rivers Fishing Adventures?
Yes.
Three Rivers Adventures. Yep. So you normally, are you gonna have to do Three Rivers and a river chain?
Yeah, I think so. Gonna have to change my name up a little bit.
So obviously you're spending time on the rivers in the metro area there, mostly. How's this? I know we touched on it a little bit earlier this year. You talked about the flooding. How's it been this year?
We're catching some fish. We're having some good trips. What I've found is that the flatheads have been off a little bit, and so I think a lot of that has to do with the flooding and the spawn and how that interacted with each other. So they're cavity spawners, right? So they're up in the bank, they're in tires and trees or whatever, and you get a 20-foot rise of water, you can imagine what that might do to these fish and their nests.
Feet. That's
so
insane.
It really has made me scratch my head a little bit, I guess I would say. Like, you know, still trying to figure out where exactly they might be. And I know friends of mine are also having a hard time as well. You know, it's just, it's not the normal flathead here we'd be seeing.
Hmm. Do you think that flooding had an impact on populations, or do you think it just moved them?
I think it's more of a behavior thing. They're pretty smart. They'll find their way. They're for sure, some of them probably got trapped in some backwaters that they can't get out of. But I don't think that is a huge concern, like the population took a hit or anything. It's mostly a behavioral thing, I think, and just moving to different spots.
We've talked about how basic this fishing is. You're just using the trolling motor because you like to keep moving as you do this, right? You're kind of searching.
And I think you could probably sit in one spot and kind of fan cast an area and then move a little bit more and then fan cast that area. I kind of enjoy this because you get to see different parts of the lake and try different things. So, like, I think we could probably hit spot lock right here and just sit here and fish here for a while and probably catch one, but I like to find active fish, move around this little island we're at here. And
you find them in bunches or isolated?
I do find them in bunches, and you probably saw that earlier. You know, we were catching fish. We'd catch one or two or three and then nothing. Then we'd move and catch, you know, a couple more. So they kind of do seem to be in little schools maybe.
And how big of a role do electronics play for you?
Out here, not so much. It's all visual for me. I'm just looking for structure and weeds.
So you're telling me that live scope isn't ruining all the catfishing out here?
It's funny you mention that because I have a live scope down here on the floor of the boat here. And I tried it actually one time out here, and I thought maybe I could, you know, snipe these individual fish a little bit. And with all these standing weeds in front of us and stuff, it was hard to pick out the fish in between the weeds and cast to them. I think if I spent a lot of time messing with it, I could probably figure it out and maybe catch a few more, but I don't think it's needed.
Yeah, well, there's so many opportunities out there where you don't need one. And sometimes it makes it more fun if you have, I think if you're fishing a little deeper or fishing a little bit more vertical, it's fun casting at fish in forward mode too. But so what do you think about, do you want to weigh in on the forward facing sonar discussion that's happening right now?
the way I look at it is like, you know, if you like using it, use it. If you don't like use it, don't use it. You know, it's like, to me, it's people are out here to have fun and enjoy themselves and, you know, get away from the real world. And if that's your thing, if you want to use it, then use it. I don't know. I don't have a hard, you know, stance on it either way, I guess. It's like all technology. I honestly think like mapping could be even more detrimental than LiveScope. You know, you look, people didn't know about these reefs and humps and sunken trees, and now everyone knows exactly where they are.
Yeah, the technology, I mean, where do you draw the line? Like, is because you're exactly right, being able to mark a sunken island or an underwater hump or something that you didn't know was there before. You know, you were dragging around a rock on a brick, you know, back in the day, or lining up between points. And it's funny, even in recent years, I know I fished a place where we used to just troll lines, you know, from that point, or that deadfall to this point or whatever. And now that I got it, now that I can map with my Garmin, I'm like, oh, now I see why that line always works so well, because we're going over, you know, this hump right here, or this break right here. And now you, and then you can drop the live scope and actually see what those fish are doing. I mean, it's allowing you to learn so much more about fish behavior and how they relate to different structure, how they may relate to different bait pods, things like that. And I've said this a million times on this show, it's not a magic fish catcher. It's not going to catch the fish for you. You still have to catch them. And I've definitely seen a lot of fish on LiveScope that I didn't catch. That's helped me find fish. But I think where a lot of the discussion comes in now is tournament anglers or guides. You know, do you feel as a guide, and obviously you're guiding catfish, maybe not using the technology as much as maybe a crappie guide or a walleye guide or even, you know, the bass guys out there. Do you feel like in the guiding world, it's maybe there's an issue there at all, or they're putting more fish if they're keeping fish, you know, if it's catch and release, it's kind of a moot point to some extent. I mean, there might be some hook mortality, but if it's catch and release, it's not such a big deal. But if you're keeping, and maybe these guides that are going out twice a day and keeping limits of crappies, do you see that being a technology issue or a guiding, you know, a guide issue?
I think it's probably both. Where I see it from a guide issue is like if there's one to five guides using it, and they're consistently putting more numbers of fish in the boat than the other guides, that business is probably going to sway that way because they're just so successful. And when people go out, obviously they want to have a good time, but they also want to catch fish too. So I feel like guides might be feel like they're forced to buy it and learn it because mm-hmm. everyone else is doing it and they're being successful with it. So I guess that's, you know, dog eat dog world, so to speak. So
keeping up with the competition.
Right. Yeah. I guess that's the way that happens. But also, guides out there should be like respecting the body of waters they're fishing, because that's where they're making their living. You know, if they're taking fish out constantly and putting a hit on that population, that's not a good thing, whether they're using LiveScope or not. You know, that's more of an ethical type thing than electronics. So I think it's having an effect. I just don't know if it's as drastic as everyone's making it.
Well, that might end affect that guide's business at the end of the day too, if he's relying on that fishery for his business.
For sure.
You gotta keep that fishery healthy.
I mean, it's a tool. Like, as technology evolves, guides are picking up the stuff because it makes their job easier. You know, whether it be a trolling motor with mapping or spot lock or a 300 horsepower motor. You know, they're all tools. It's just tools for your job. So.
What do you think about guides that, do you think there should be a limit on like the number of guide trips a guide can take in a day?
That's an interesting one. I guess, I think you're going to be, the success rate's probably going to be the same, unless you're on a really good bite, which does happen. If you're on a fishery where you can go out and just, I know they do that in Lake of the Woods a lot. You know, the charters go back and forth, and I don't know if they do 2-3 trips a day. I really don't know that, but if you get on a good bite, you're bringing in a lot of fish. And so the DNR has to figure that into, you know, the bag limits and everything. I think that's a tough one. Like, it's hard to tell someone you can't do your job. You know, you're limited to hours, so.
I'm not really for any more regulation from the government, I'll be honest about that. But at the same time, it's like in a somewhat comparable world on the goose side of things, in recent years, I've spent a lot of time at different historical staging areas for Canada geese, whether it's, you know, Horicon or even Lac Parle or the guys down in Rochester. You know, they're just not what they used to be. And obviously there's been some power plant changes or habitat changes and things like that, but those areas have been just absolutely pounded by freelancers and guides. And then you talk about Rochester, and for a number of years there, they'd have pits all around the refuge, and they'd run 10 guys in there, smack their limit of geese, and then boom, kick them out, put another 10 guys in there. You know, later in the season when birds are flying all day, or they do a morning flight and then an afternoon flight, and all these, they're taking, you know, 10 guys that are each shooting, they're doing 20 limits of birds every day. And now you don't see geese around those areas as much. So is that from the pressure? Is that from other changes? It's hard to say. But if guides are going out and taking a group of clients in the morning, catching a limit of fish, and then going out in the afternoon and catching a limit of fish, what is that doing? Is it having an impact? And I don't know the answer to that. I wanted you to answer more of that, but for our radio listeners, we got to go to the podcast. If you're watching the podcast, we'll have more with Darren here in just a second. But if you're on the radio network, thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. Go watch or listen to the rest of this wherever you get your favorite podcasts or on YouTube. Thank you for tuning in.
If you want to catch a big walleye, go where the big walleyes are. Lake of the Woods is the walleye capital of the world, with a variety of resorts and lodging facilities offering full-service fishing. Lake of the Woods is also home to sturgeon, sauger, perch, trophy pike, muskie, smallmouth bass, burbot, and more. Plan your trip to Lake of the Woods today. Go to lakeofthewoodsmn.com. That's lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
Hi, welcome to Staples.
Hi, my son's teacher emailed his back-to-school list. He needs crayons and a comp book for every subject.
Okay, no problem. With Staples Hot Deals, you'll find super low prices on hundreds of items for back-to-school.
Oh, now they're saying he needs folders and glue.
You got it.
And markers?
Of course.
Oh, geez.
Can we get a cart, please?
Save big on back-to-school with Staples Hot Deals. Right now, 24-pack Crayola crayons and comp books are only 50 cents each at Staples. Ends 8/24, in-store only, limit 10.
Isn't there a Republican primary election for the 68th Assembly District coming up?
August 13th, I'm voting for Rob Summerfield. I trust his conservative leadership.
Me too. He stopped that crazy liberal agenda in Madison.
What about rising costs?
Folks are struggling to keep up. That's why Rob passed tax relief for families and retirees.
And stopping illegal immigration?
Rob voted to send the National Guard to help secure the southern border and pass legislation keeping illegal immigrants from voting.
Let's keep Rob fighting for us. Vote Rob Summerfield for 68th Assembly, August 13th.
Paid for by Friends of Rob Summerfield.
Most of us can agree everyone deserves the right to make their own medical decisions. Politicians should have no say at all.
Thankfully, we have leaders like Vice President Kamala Harris who are standing up for our rights to make our own medical decisions and protect abortion rights. As Vice President, Kamala Harris helped lead the administration's efforts to protect abortion rights after the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. Vice President Harris has worked to defend access to emergency medical care and support the ability to travel for reproductive care. She's fought for access to high-quality, affordable contraception and strengthened reproductive health privacy. Vice President Harris has defended our rights and freedoms against right-wing extremists who want the government to make medical decisions for us. She's a champion for our rights.
Visit www.abwt.org/Kamala and tell Vice President Harris, keep fighting for our freedom to make our own medical decisions. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
With Progressive's Home Quote Explorer, you can check if you're paying too much for home insurance, because giving you options is the right thing to do.
Oh yeah, like bringing brownies to a dinner party. But I never bring brownies with nuts, because not everyone likes nuts, so they wouldn't eat those brownies. And even people who do like nuts will still eat brownies without them. Why? Because they're brownies.
But still, it's the right thing to do. So compare rates with Progressive's Home Quote Explorer. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and third-party insurers. Not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Come on along and join our party.
There's a party on your radio every Saturday morning between 7 and 9 a.m. on It's Polka Time with me, Craig Ebel. You'll hear the latest in polka releases, as well as your old favorites, too. So tune in every Saturday morning at 7 a.m. to It's Polka Time, right here on 98Q Country.
Ma and Pa and Grandpa, too, for it's happy polka time.
It's Polka Time with Craig Ebel on WCQM is proudly sponsored by Jack's Corner Bar.
Want to start saving money today? Well, you're in luck. The 98Q Country Shopping Show is always available online at 98QCountry.com. There you can find local businesses such as nice restaurants or fun shops. Located in Phillips, Prentice, Park Falls, Minocqua, Mellon, and many other locations in the surrounding areas. Save money with 98Q Country today.
Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start.
I call Tax Solutions now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Call Tax Solutions now.
800-281-8193. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it'll take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 10 million people. Without destroying your credit, they can reduce your interest rates, lower your total payments up to 50% to get you out of debt fast. For a free consultation, call Consolidated Credit now. The program works.
Call 800-210-4298. 800-210-4298. 800-210-4298.
Consolidated Credit Solutions Incorporated, 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida 33313. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Kansas CSO 0019051. Maryland DM 1492. Oregon DM 892. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation Commission, license number DC83. Service may adversely affect the individual's credit. Non-payment of debt may lead to additional finance charges or collections activity, including legal action. Actual interest rates, length of program, and monthly payment reductions will vary by consumer and creditor. Yours could be higher or lower. Not a loan company. We do not lend money.
This weather update is sponsored by Hansen HVAC Heating and Cooling, your local Armstrong Air dealer of Phillips and Manitouish Waters.
This is Sporting Journal Radio,
presented by OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
Hi, this is Sporting Journal Radio. Thanks for tuning in on the network by demand or watching this on YouTube. I'm Brett Amundson with Dan Amundson right there. And Joe Henry joins us now from Lake of the Woods Tourism. Joe, what's happening?
Hey, Brett. I'm doing well, buddy. How are you?
Good. And we're excited. We're finally, I know we've been talking about it for the last couple of months, but we're finally about to come up to Lake of the Woods next week. We're going to be up there pretty much all week. And Joe, we're going to be up at the Angle. We're going to be down at the South End. We're going to be there during the Warrior Tournament. Like, it's going to be a good time up there next week.
But you know, you're doing a lot of stuff and you're seeing a lot of the lake, and that's part of the fun, I think. I think you're heading up to the Angle first. And I think that you're going to be doing some exploration up there with Joe Lauren of Lighthouse Boat Tours. And then I believe you're going to come down to the south end of the lake and jump on a charter boat for a while and get some footage and do some different things that way. I know that you're going to check out the David A. Anderson Warrior Boat Memorial Walleye Tournament, which, you know, they've been coming up to Lake of the Woods now for many, many years with that tournament. I think it's the ninth annual, if I'm not mistaken. And you know, they get about 100. Last year, they had 144 boats. So it's, if it's not the largest, it's one of the largest walleye tournaments in the state of Minnesota. And so really a neat deal, kind of a family affair, that culture of warrior boats that of course, are based out of Melrose, Minnesota. And, you know, we sure appreciate those guys and gals coming up. That's for sure.
I'm just excited to come up and fish Lake of the Woods. All that stuff sounds great too, Joe, but of course I'm just excited to get up there and fish a little bit. And it's one of those things, you know, I feel like growing up, when it came to August, I was like, gosh, I don't want to go walleye fishing. Is going to be tough. It's going to be hot out there. And then I went up to Lake of the Woods a couple of times in August and did really well. So I'm looking forward to going up there and catching some fish. And I've seen some people have been up there recently catching some really nice walleyes up there, Joe.
Fishing has just been great. Dog days on Lake of the Woods. In fact, a lot of people plan their vacation, you know, in July and August and September up at Lake of the Woods because, you know, it just shines up there. You know, here's the difference. You know, there's a lot of really, really good walleye lakes in Minnesota and the Midwest, But, you know, this time of year, an average inland lake, they're loaded with weeds. The water temps are up. Those walleyes are hard to get to. And then on top of it, the perch and sunfish and minnows, everything is that perfect eating size for walleye. So you're competing with millions and millions and millions and millions of little possible meals for walleye. Why in the heck would they grab your bait? A lot tougher to catch them. On Lake of the Woods, you know what? It's a different kind of body of water. You know, we got that stained water, so the fish bite during the day. You know, we have literally, they estimate, over 10 million walleyes on our body of water. Plus, we have saugers. That helps a lot. And then, of course, you know, our lake, we don't have, because of the stained water and the way the system is, we don't have the big weed beds and stuff so much. It's more of the big open water. We got mud and sand and rock, but it's all open water, so it's easy to fish that way. And it just, it lends itself to a recipe for success when it comes to the dog days of August, certainly, and leading into September.
This time of year, people talk about going out and fishing the mud and fishing the big basin and everything like that. But there is some structure and some shorelines that shouldn't be overlooked up there.
Oh, man, yeah. Well, and I'll tell you, so there are a ton of walleyes right now over the mud. I mean, the charter boats are making a living on those big mud flats right now in huge schools of walleye. You know, you look at your graph when you get out on those fish and it's like, wow, are those really fish, you know? So they're there. Now, with that being said, we do have some reefs on Lake of the Woods. And, you know, when you have a reef popping out of miles and miles of mud, that's a magnet for walleyes and saugers and other fish too. So, you know, give you some ideas. You know, if you go up out of the Rainy River, going up that way, you got 9 and 29 footer, a couple little rock piles on your way up north along the eastern border of Canada. As you're heading up in a little further, you have Knight and Bridges Islands. Now, there's some reefs just off to the out from Knight and Bridges Islands that when you zoom in on that, Danny, I'll tell you what, those reefs pop with structure. Look at that structure. And there's a whole bunch of different rock piles out there that you can fish. Now, here's a kicker. When you fish those rock piles, sometimes those fish will be laying on top. Sometimes those fish are on the edges. And then oftentimes, one of the best places to catch those darn fish is on the edges where it goes from a rock to a mud transition. And that would be in that 32 to 34 feet of water. That can be extremely, extremely good, that transition area. Now, those walleyes will also, they might be relating to that rock, but they might be out in the mud flat. So they might be close to the rock, but just out from it a ways. But it's still kind of a magnet. Another good spot to go on Lake of the Woods where there's rock, you know, Garden Island. Garden Island has that shoal called Sterine Shoal. Most people call it Sterine Shoal, but it's Sterine Shoal that comes off the south end of Garden Island. And going out from that, you know, there's shallow rock up there, but then there's also deep rock that goes out from that. And then, of course, going to the west a little bit, you have what's called West Bar, that opening on the west side of Garden Island there, Danny. When you go up there, just to the west there, there's some rock in there, and that's called West Bar. Sliding over a little further, you got Stony Point. That's an area along the northwest side of Lake of the Woods. And then coming down that west shoreline, you have Archie's Reef, which is kind of out in the middle of that open water. Great big reef that's pretty well known. I think some people call that 16 Mile as well. And then you come down, and then you got the whole Arneson's Rocky Point, Long Point area. And that's known to have a whole bunch of reefs sticking out from shore there. You know, they don't look like much on that map, Danny, but zoom in on a couple of those reefs and watch those reefs pop as you get close to them. That's what you want to do, you guys. If you see that stuff on a map, you really need to zoom in to see what it's all about. But look at that structure. Now, can you imagine pulling spinners over that?
Or anchoring
an and jigging, you know, or even just pulling cranks in the mud on the outside of that thing. And those reefs are all over the place out there. So, those reefs can always hold fish. It just depends upon you. You got to check them out, right? But they're always magnets. There's always fish around those reefs. So, yep, you got the open mud, no man's land. And then, of course, you have those reefs, too. And those are obviously magnets for fish. But that's kind of the neat thing. And I should tell you, too, there's a whole bunch of structure along that south shore. Danny, if you show that area between Morris Point and Zippo Bay, as an example, that area between Morris Point and Zippo Bay, there's different reefs and stuff coming from shore that are little small reefs. And so zoom in on that once. Just zoom in, like right there. Yep. Now look at that. Look at that spot. That hardly gets fished by charter boats. And I mean, if you have a small boat, holy smokes, look at that structure. Some of that's untouched. I know people that'll pull crankbaits on the inside part of that, and that 8 to 10 feet of water inside where it turns into sand along shore, especially in the evenings. And they'll, regardless of what all the walleyes are doing in that body of water, there can always be a bite, that shoreline bite, just like in the winter. In the winter, you might be out fishing that deep mud during the day, but in the mornings or evenings, if you're fishing on your own, you might slide up into that 10 to 15 feet of water along shore, anywhere along that south shore, or at the angle. And there could be a morning evening bite of walleyes, because some of those fish always slide into feed towards evening. But that's what makes Lake of the Woods so much fun. You don't have to be doing what everybody else is doing. You can be out in that deep mud pounding fish, but there's so many spots to fish. Also makes it nice if you need to play the wind. If there's a real strong south breeze, you want to hug that south shoreline. If you need to go west because there's a strong breeze. And of course, 42 miles of navigable rainy river too. There's all the structure in the river. Same kind of thing. You got, you know, sand, you got mud, and you have the different rock areas in the river too. So lots to fish, put it that way. A lot of areas.
Yeah. And it's, you know, you shouldn't be afraid to fish some of that shallower water. We've noticed, especially, the old thinking of you got to go deep on a hot summer day. That's not necessarily the case.
You know, you make up a really good point. On Lake of the Woods, the water is stained. You know, for listeners that don't know what stained water is, the tannins from south of Lake of the Woods, where the watershed that drains into Lake of the Woods is, the tannins from all the bogs, they naturally stain that water, kind of a light coffee color or a tea color. So the water is clean. It's very clean water, but it's got that stain to it, that tint. Well, consequently, the walleyes eat during the day. I cannot tell you the number of times in tournaments and stuff that I've gone on a 6-foot rock pile in the middle of a sunny day on Lake of the Woods and pulled spinners and whacked nice walleyes. I have no problem going in shallow water, on Lake of the Woods because of that stained water. And those fish will be up there eating and, you know, whatever else. Don't be afraid one bit to try the shallows. 100%.
Yeah. So are you're guaranteeing us some 30 inches next week, right? That's what you said. I think it's guaranteed.
I don't guarantee nothing because I can't affect your ability.
No. Oh, yeah, I'm screwed. Yeah. No. No, the last 30 inch I caught was at Lake of the Woods. Obviously, it's what you always say. If you want to catch a big walleye, go where the big walleyes are. And there's big fish to be caught. And it's not, there's never a guarantee, of course. But I've seen some really nice fish caught in August at Lake of the Woods.
Well, I'll tell you this much. You know, when you think about some of the more premier walleye waters in the United States, and you think about when you look at the average bags coming in from big walleye tournaments, and you take a look at those size of the fish compared to what Lake of the Woods is at. Lake of the Woods, I think it's, I don't want to say they're the top because I might miss a body of water, but they are definitely towards the top of an average of about a 10-pound fish for those tournaments, especially now that people are sharp shooting them with live scope and picking out the fish. Now imagine a 10-pound average for the fish. You know, that's there's a lot of big fish in Lake of the Woods. And I'll say this, you know, we have that slot limit on Lake of the Woods. Our limit of walleyes and saugers on Lake of the Woods, it's a combined limit of 6 fish. Up to 4 of those fish can be walleyes. There's a slot limit on walleyes. 19 and a half inches to 28 inches must be released. You keep your eaters under 19 and a half inches, which are the best eaters anyway. And then you let everything 19 and a half to 28 go. And if you want to keep one over 28, you can keep one fish per day. Now, by letting those 25s and 26s and 27s go, think of the chance those fish have to become trophies. Versus throwing them in a cooler.
I think that slot limit is great. And I'm looking forward to it, Joe. We'll be up there. We'll see you sometime next week up there. And if people want to plan a trip maybe for the summer, maybe they're thinking about fall fishing up there or even an ice fishing trip, it's never too early to start thinking about that. What should they do to get more information?
Check out our new website, and that is lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
Sporting Journal Radio is a division of Macaba LLC. If you missed any part of the show and want to listen to it again, or maybe hear an extended version of some of these interviews, you can download the podcast. Go to sportingjournalradio.com, or you can watch this show on YouTube or Facebook. Search for Sporting Journal Radio.
Serving Wisconsin's beautiful Northwoods, 98Q Country is 98.3 FM WCQM Park Falls, a Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. One day after President Biden issued a joint statement calling on ceasefire talks between Israel and Hamas to resume, the Israeli military struck a school in Gaza City, and the Hamas-controlled Gaza government says at least 85 people were killed. Israel says Hamas was operating a command center from the school and that it used precision munitions, but ABC's Tom Sufi Burge in Tel Aviv says...
This morning, Egypt reacting to the attack on that school, accusing Israel of the, quote, deliberate killing of huge numbers of unarmed civilians, saying it was evidence of a lack of political will on the Israeli side to end the war.
Vice President Kamala Harris campaigning in Arizona called for a ceasefire. She and running mate Tim Walz will be in Nevada today. Former President Trump was in Montana last night. Debbie and its remnants have finally left the U.S., but the final blow, flash flooding in New York State caused by heavy rain. There are more than 40,000 power outages in the state. This is ABC News.